Guru.
Jai Guru Keith.
Hello.
Jai Guru Keith.
Everybody else forgot us, huh? Found an interesting article. I don't know if you ever heard of. There's a non-dual guy that has a website. His name is Timothy Conway. His site is Enlightened Spirituality. But he had a meeting with this Argadatta. He was like searching all these different gurus and stuff, and he describes his. It was about 10 days' time with this Argadatta in pretty good detail, and all the questions he asked and what this Argadatta said. And the name of the article was Nisargadatta Maharaj, My Recollections. That's the name of My Recollections. Nisargadatta. And so I just thought I'd mention that. He describes like when early in his meetings that he had a just being in Nisargadatta's presence and the potency of his words were like sent him off into a like a pretty high state for a little time. Then as the conversation went on, Nisargadatta started to tell him to, well, he didn't say it. He didn't say shut up, but it's so. I forget how he said it, but well, he said, "You're not to ask any more questions," and but I guess everybody else could. But then that kind of like it, in a way, it helped him because then he did shut up and just actually, sit with his own presence and in the bliss of his own presence. So. Yeah, I'm getting, gradual over time, I'm getting to recognize that it's my desire and my inclinations, my natural inclinations is to want to know. To want to know. I want to know.
But there's nothing to know. Anything that can be known is not true.
Yeah,
Then you
that's
also
what
try to create an illusory knower. So
Yeah.
just forget about that and remain with yourself. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj said, keep quiet, because the more you want to question, then the mind is like a churning factory of you're spinning stuff out. Oh, and you say, you read the books sometimes with Nisargadatta Maharaj, and people ask a question, he'll answer something, and then they'll ask another question right after. And it's almost like they're preparing the next question while their Nisargadatta Maharaj is answering the question. But he is always the answer to every question is accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Oh, but I want to know what happens when I leave the body. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. And you have to sit with that. Well, what does that mean? Well, accept your selfless self, self without self, there's nothing. Oh, but what is this nothing? No. Accept your selfless self. There's nothing. Okay, well, what happens to me? Accept your selfless self. There's nothing. No God, no Brahman, no Paramatma, no master. Well, what about the master? No. Should I take mantra from a master? There is no master. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Atman, no Paramatman, no master, nothing. And that's why it's like, but the tendency, because we've been with this body form for a while, is to sit there and try to formulate questions based on the wrong perception of being a body in a world. So all questions are complete, total, like just throw them away. You can never ask a question about yourself because you're prior to the questions, prior to the formation of words, prior to body, prior to even the sense of presence or the sense I exist. So now, if you ask a question about what that state is prior to beingness, well, accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. And it's just that hammering. That's like, don't think of or say, oh, I've been sitting in meditation for so long. I have this blissful experience. I've seen Nisargadatta Maharaj floating in the air and coming down and telling me that I'm enlightened or whatever. Okay, this is a good spiritual experience, but throw that away because accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. So the fact that you're having an experience is obviously illusion within the illusion. And don't delude yourself by thinking that it means anything at all. So throw that away. While experience ends, there you are. Because accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing.
We tend to think that experiences are lasting or they have some kind of reality to them.
Experiences are total, who cares? Like, because you're using a body to experience. Prior to the concept of body, there was no experience, no experiencer. So any experience, Maharaj is generous, saying they're progressive steps. And that's only because if you just insult, it'd be very insulting to say, yeah, you're beautiful. Because people will come and they'll be like, oh, I've been meditating and I go into this place and I feel the presence and the angels and all this sort of stuff. And Maharaj, basically, he's like, okay, this is a nice experience, progressive step. Instead of saying, please stop wasting your time trying to pretend in the illusory world like anything matters. And just please remain with your selfless self. Please just be with you always. Oh, but I have this experience. No. Please just keep quiet. As Nisargadatta Maharaj said, it's like, don't ask questions. Don't talk about your experiences. Don't think that anything that you can say, do, or think matters even a tiny little bit for your spirituality. And that's why Maharaj says your spirituality is totally separate from your routine life. They're not conflicting. You say, oh, I have to eat only sattvic foods. I can only eat vegetables. I have to be a non-meat eater. So I'm creating this concept, believing in this concept, and performing this concept as if it means something. Don't give meaning to illusory concepts. Even you go see the guru says, there's no difference between you and me. That's to eliminate the concept that you're going to go see a guru. And that's why he says, see yourself as formless, see the master as formless, and there's no separation. Who's going to who? And for a time, it's okay to play with these little, like, very kindergarten spirituality type stuff. Like, I'm not a body and all this sort of thing. But the truth is the truth. It's not going anywhere. You can add a lot of illusory layers and then start to believe in the various concepts, and you can believe in the concept of removing the illusory layers that you have added on through your conceptual building and understanding. Oh, I need to know. So you build this house of concepts, and then the master says, tear down this house of concepts. And then you say, ah, this conceptual house that I've built, I was able to remove the roof. Master's like, oh, this is a very good progressive step. But you're still believing that there is a house.
This could go for, like somebody might think, oh, Keith, he's been on a spiritual journey for a long time. He must know better than I do. I don't know any more than a beginner does, you know?
There's no Keith, no beginner,
Yeah.
no other, no nothing. If you know yourself in a real sense, there's absolutely nothing. There, who knows what? There is no nothing. In your dream tonight, you have a very wise man, and all the people come, oh, this man is so wise. Then you wake up. Where'd this wise man go? And what was he espousing? He was espousing things within your dream that have no relevance outside of the concept of dreaming. Every time you think something is important, it's a concept that just needs to be removed because you've built it.
I guess so. Within the illusion, well,
There's
one
nothing, just the play,
the
the five elements that you're identifying with as something, and a bunch of lumps of goo that the presence is animating and playing with. Again, much like a dream where you go to sleep at night, you project a dream world. A bunch of elements are together in your dream. You've imagined them to be together. You've imagined them speaking and talking and doing these various things and all these activities. You wake up and you know it's not true.
And since none of them last, any concepts or even what seems to be good within the illusion, that doesn't last either, so
Well, the only concepts that last are the ones you believe in.
yeah.
It's all lies and falsehoods, but you believe in certain things and you don't believe in other things, and therefore you enhance the concept. That's why Nisargadatta says about, I think it was Modi, he talked about an I am that, where he presented to the two brothers, you know, these ideas, and the one guy is just closing it down and said, no, there's nothing in here, because they don't relate to his concepts. His concepts do not correspond with what Maharaj is espousing. So he says, this is just nonsense. But the other one had a little bit more open mind and said, oh, there might be something here. Because if you're given a concept and you say, oh, I agree. Well, but it is a concept. It is false. So now you're trying to give validity to a false concept and somehow say, okay, I believe this concept to be true.
So
And then the guru eventually says, remove this concept.
in that sense, you could get the concept, or it would be, it's still a concept, but it can seem like your usual way of relating with the world is changing to become more open, but actually that's just a concept, an illusion
A
also.
concept as well.
Yeah.
If I tell you you can fly and you truly believe it, and I give you all this information about flying and the fact that you have this ability, and isn't it wonderful that you have this ability and this and that, and then you jump off my balcony and fall, now its reality is shown. I cannot fly. The concept I can fly has been removed through direct experience.
Yes.
You could speak about flying and
So,
speak about how it came to be and your whole lineage and the fact that your father could probably fly and your grandfather could probably fly. And there are only a certain percentage of people in this world who can fly and how the genetics is made. And then you jump and boom, splat.
you can defend the relative sense of what you think you know all you want, but.
Direct experience. I cannot fly. I've broken every bone in my body. I now understand that no matter how those concepts were added on, the truth, the reality, in direct experience of my own selfless self is I cannot fly. This
So
is removing of a concept.
that yeah, so that's why it seemed like I'm progressing and I'm getting more able to recognize that my former ideas of what is good and bad are illusory, but still that's still it's still an idea that I'm it's
Yeah,
still a concept
just
that I'm making improvement, I guess.
remain with your selfless self. It's the black hole of concepts. Because there's nothing there. Like you can't, how can you create a concept? Somebody says, "Oh, Keith, you can fly." You say, in your understanding, I'm not body. Like, what are you saying can fly? Because I'm more like the space than I am the body. So how could the concept I can fly stick to the space? It can only stick to the concept of a body, which I know I'm not. And that's how you remove all concepts. You know yourself in a real sense through direct experience. Somebody talks about death. That's a concept. And what is dying exactly? Like, you know yourself in a real sense. This concept cannot stick to that you are. So this is not a concept that is given any thought. I am dying. There's nothing to how this doesn't make sense. So this is discarded. You say, oh, you have cancer. Oh, but I know myself in a real sense. You don't have to go through this whole process of knowing. It's because you know yourself in a real sense that this concept of cancer cannot stick to that you are. Okay, the body form, this lump of five elemental goo, is having a disturbance because I can witness the weather and understand that at any given moment, the five elements have a disturbance. But I am not disturbed. You're the space in which the tornado occurs, and buildings fly around, and there's heavy wind and a lot of destruction, but the space is not affected. The tornado can go 10,000 miles per hour and destroy the whole city. Space is not affected.
So the ability to discriminate between, say, a light wind and a heavy wind, or discriminate anything, is really that's
Based on body
it's.
and the illusory existence of the world.
But also, isn't it true that the discriminating ability doesn't really, well, it doesn't mean anything until it actually has something to discriminate, but. The
Well, again,
discriminating
space. You're more
isn't
like space than you are.
spontaneously present, the discriminating bill. I mean, in Das Boot, he talks about discrimination. It's pre There is the
This
power
is
of
again a
discrimination.
basic kindergarten concept.
There is a power.
Discriminating based on I'm a body, I discriminate and I say, this is true, this is not true. When you know yourself in a real sense, just like the renouncing of the renouncer, it's finished. Your object is to have the direct experience of your own selfless self, or so that I am that. So that no concept will be able to make sense, will be able to stick to that you are. When you say discriminate between the how heavy the wind is, the space does not discriminate. Even if the space were alive, it would not feel the wind.
I'm still trying to make something out of nothing, I
Well, and that's a concept.
guess. Yeah.
But if we just knew ourselves as except yourselfless self, there's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatma, no master, there'd be nothing to speak about. Because you just know, again, no sticky concepts. There's nothing to stick them to. And then you say, oh, well, how am I supposed to live my everyday life if there's no way to have concepts stick? No, you use them and discard. Use and discard. Do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities. But you know yourself in a real sense. That's why Sri Ramakant Maharaj says on your deathbed, there should be no concept of I am dying. You know yourself in a real sense. How can you die? What part of you dies?
But I have a hard time thinking, well, that's not, if I think that that's me, what doesn't die, if I think that that's me, then that's just more.
It's not thinking, it's direct experience.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no birth, no death. It's direct experience. No concept of birth and death can stick. And you say, oh, the body is born, the body dies. Well, even which body then? This one that you believe yourself to be because you're perceiving the illusory existence through it, just like the little dream body. When you dream at night, is that body that you're perceiving the dream world yours? You take ownership because of spontaneous impression. Oh, this is me. I'm seeing all this stuff through this perspective.
I seem to know that something is there.
Well, because the seer is formless.
I mean, I seem to think that there's something other than, yeah, other than me.
The seer is formless, and the concept that I am seeing is due to the fact that a body form of seeing is available, and you're identified with a dream body in within the dream. So you say, I'm seeing all these things. But it's like the space is using this body as a puppet to see inside the space.
In the book I'm reading now, the I forget the title of the book now, the last talks of consciousness in the absolute, was that the name of the
Yeah,
book?
consciousness and the absolute, the
Yeah.
final talks of Srinivas. And actually, that's in Kindle now. I was
Yeah.
very happy to get that. That and Prior to Consciousness. And there was another one that just recently came out. So I had added that to my morning reading. But go ahead, what were you going to say about it?
He did mention that when the body or when the body is formed, some I'm not putting in exact words, but that the self, the greater self, is in love with the identifications and the limit. The form limits of form it, that it somehow loves and wants to make them last. He
Because
refers.
it's the first time you understand the sense of existence. I exist as this. That's why Sri Ramakant Maharaj says when you pour water in the ants run. They naturally want to protect their bodies because the presence knows itself through the form of an ant. And because of the body, you sit there and say, oh, if the body is not there, then there's no knowing. And I'm afraid that means I don't exist. But the knower exists. The sense of existence appears to that knower that exists But then believes because of the sense of existence is known through a body form that when this body form is no more, I am not. This is not true.
Yeah, even all my life, I've always noticed that something that fear is somehow linked to all my problems.
But when you know yourself in a real sense, what is there to fear? Like, what can happen to you? We talked about before, the whole world could explode, all the people gone. It won't affect you at all.
I don't know what I am. I don't
And
know
then
what.
some people will say, oh, well, that's very cruel because thousands of souls will cry out. No, but this is reality. It's not a concept. And the concept of thousands of souls crying out are because you believe yourself to be an individual soul, that when this body falls, there will be like this little ghost soul of John that then goes to the collective and becomes one with the universe. No. The universe never separated.
Yeah, what about all the other poor worlds with other.
All everything is within you. That's why even if we ever do have aliens come and visit the Earth, guess what? That's also presence and it's also within the illusion. It's just a different lump of goo from a different five elemental lump of goo animated by the same presence that's animating this body. Enjoying and entertaining and imagining that there's some kind of contact of an otherworldly being,
It's kind of
all
like
within
over.
yourself.
It's kind of like over before it even
Well, again, that's why no concepts will stick.
begins.
Just like tonight, you could dream about aliens landing and meeting aliens and riding off in their spaceship, and everything occurred within your own self. You were the alien. You were the people that were inviting the alien and all this sort of thing. And the whole thing happened within you. There never was a separate alien and you. And you know this in a dream because when you wake up, you're like, oh, wow. That was an amazing dream. But you know it's a dream because now you're on the other side, you're waking up. Well, when you know yourself in a real sense, you will very much understand that what you used to believe was reality is the waking dream based on the fact that I am a body form in a world rather than the world and all these bodies are within me. There is no separation. Just as in dream, you cannot take a piece of you out. The dirt is you, the insects are you. The water is you, the sun is you, the wind is you, the clouds are you, all the people are you, the dogs walking in the park are you. And there is no separation. How can there be separation? Because all is an appearance within this illusion. And nighttime and waking. Conscious dreaming, whatever you want to call it, is the same. There's no separation between the waking so-called dream and the nighttime sleeping so-called dream. Identification with the body and an action, I am sleeping, I am awake. But both are occurring within your own self. When you know yourself in a real sense, both are given up. They're seen as not true. That's why Ashravakra, talking about the when I think it was Janaka, he said, "Am I a king dreaming that I'm a pauper, or a pauper dreaming that I'm a king?" And Ashravakra, I think I'm saying it right, Ashravaka, he said, "Neither is true, and both are true." And this is why, because dreaming and waking are the same. The concept is I'm dreaming, I'm awake. All these states have appeared, but they're appearing on your illusory your presence. And your presence itself is the first delusion. I exist. The knowledge of existence has appeared to the one that existed without knowledge of existence or lack of knowledge of existence. Neither matters. You are, whether you know you exist or whether you do not know you exist.
What if I went out?
There is no out, and there's no you that can want to that. Just like one of your dream characters says, I don't like this dream. I want out. How? Or one of the dream characters complains about suffering and wants to end it all. Do they go into another little sub-dream? No.
Doesn't make me sometimes I wonder, does the team we are involved with ever have anything to say about suicide?
No deed, no doer. No one's dying. No
Because
one's
I
being
know
born. There's no killer, no killing.
in Buddhism, they say, do not commit suicide. They don't really, I don't know all the reasoning behind it, but they say it's a bad thing.
Well, I mean, most of us would say it's a bad thing, and you wouldn't want to end because again, now you've. So, now, see, if you say, I am the doer, I am ending this existence, then
That's committing suicide
this
itself.
formless doership is impressed. That's why they say, like, leaving the body or whatever, and you have this thought that maybe it is, but it's not you.
It's like suicide. If somebody does commit suicide, it's like confirming, oh, it was me, and they knew that, and that was it, you know. So
That's a
they
big time sense of doership, no doubt. But again, the space in the room does not and is not affected if 20 people come in the room and commit suicide. The space is not affected. They die natural causes. The space is not affected. There's people in the room. There's no people in the room. The space is not affected. The room is piled with boxes until there's absolutely not even a mouse can crawl in the room. The space is not affected. It doesn't become less space. And the whole building falls down, all the walls are gone. The space doesn't merge with the space.
Of course, a person that's or thinking about this, they might think that, I'm never gonna get what John's talking about. So.
Just continue to remain with yourself, the self. We talked about before, the stage is very simple. Sit with yourself. Gonna feel a subtle sense of presence. Begin paying attention, giving attention to the sense of presence in your meditation. Then, without meditation, you can give attention to the sense of presence. The sense of presence is going to feel like it's growing, but that's because you are kind of shrinking, so to speak. Now identify with the sense of presence rather than this body form. So now I've eliminated the whole world because I'm identifying myself as the sense of presence. If at all you want to compare compare yourself to sky or space, this formless sense of presence. So now I go about my everyday duties with this identification with the sense of presence. Eventually, which is a time-bound concept, but there will be a knowing, a dawning. Oh, so that I am that. I am the knower of this sense of presence, this subtle sense of presence that I've identified with. I know this. So whether that presence is there or not, I am. And that is now you know yourself in a real sense through direct recognition, direct experience. And now you know I cannot fly. That direct experience has come. I cannot die. I cannot be cut or burned, or if the world is there or not there, if the sense of presence is there or not there, I am.
What about the it's what there's just a sense of bliss involved when recognizing.
As you're identifying with the sense of presence, that's the spiritual intoxication, and it's kind of a gift.
But it can be bliss can be very slight, mild, or it can be very strong.
No, because no, bliss is not an attribute.
Yeah. Well, in my experience, it seems like sometimes I feel it. Like really strong sometimes.
That's only because you're directing your
Just
attention
my.
towards the illusion or towards yourself. When attention is directed towards yourself in the beginning, you will have this selfless self-intoxication. And once even this identification with the sense of presence, which is the bliss, occurs on the presence, when this identification with the sense of presence is no more, then there's no bliss, no nothing. Just the absence of everything. And now you just do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities, and you are that. Something happens. Oh, this terrible thing is happening. Oh, there's a war over here or that war over there. Okay, within the illusion. But you've already woken up. You know it's a long dream. The long dream, because the body form is available, the sense of presence, the sense of existence is there, but it is a long dream. So tonight you dream that China and Russia are nuking the United States. And then you wake up just a dream. When you know yourself in a real sense, no matter anything occurring within the illusion, you know it's just a dream. A dream like, don't sit there and say it's a dream, because that again is a concept. Because prior to body, there was no concept of dream. And except your selfless self, there's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master, nothing is there.